devil's advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. It's Janet Jackson, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Pleasure principal.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
I was wondering there for a moment where you guys are taking me musically.
Well, I saw the Janet documentary on Lifetime, and it reminded me of how much I love Janet Jackson. She's really good.
You know, my first job in media, I DJed in clubs and at local jazz station, but that was no fun. But the club DJ, Janet Jackson be in the mix. Yeah, you know, I had to keep the people dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was weird because we had a dance club. And they called it Cheers, and it was so miscast. It wasn't a Cheers sort of bar at all. They're, you know, everybody knew the regulars, but, you know, it wasn't Norm. But I would DJ, and I'd be on this raised platform. And some were even impressed by the fact I had a job as a DJ in the club. But I knew better. I knew it was an unimpressive job. But the worst part, and we'll get to your calls in just a minute, folks, 844-967-2789. Again, another self-indulgent diatribe from Kirby. But anyways, the worst part about this job, somewhere along the line, and my boss's name was Val Palin, and Val had bought video screens, and he had bought, like, the laser light show. Oh. And, oh, so we had the dry ice smoke, and we had the... And I'm supposed to, you know, much like you, fine gentlemen, do all the production. And that's why we've expanded the team. Because, you know, this fine show takes more than one producer. But back then, it was just me trying to do and push all the buttons. And at the very same time, I had to cue up the music. Only it wasn't your dad's 8-track tapes or even vinyl. You know, vinyl, you can pick and you can check, okay, that's my spot. Boom, there's our music. Vinyl's easier than like 3/4-inch videotapes and these big honking deck tapes, and I had to like have the video playing during the music. So the
video people would complain when it wasn't synced up, of course, right?
Well, I didn't have to sync them. Thank God. The music we were actually playing off the soundtrack of the video. But I would have to play the video of the songs. And you had to know the video, because you've seen music videos, man. How many dumb music videos have like 2 minutes of crap before the music starts, or Weird Al Yankovic talking or whatever, you know? And I would have to know the video and know the point in the video and, you know, be prepared with the musical part, because nobody wanted the long intro in the club. You know, they want to dance. My job's to move some asses, make them shake. And then I would do these teen dances. On the weekends, we'd go down to the Silver Bullet, owned also by Val. Ironically, same boss, same owner. But he would ship me down to be the DJ at the teen dances. I mean, I was barely removed from high school myself. I was like 20. And at his other bar, I was telling him I was of age to drink. And I was probably closer to the age of many of the young kids in these teen dances. But we would play. I mean, this was early Guns N' Roses days.
Oh, yeah.
Paradise City.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. When you would, and there would be between 1,000 and 2,000 teens in this teen dance. I mean, they'd make their money at the door, because you couldn't sell them booze. You couldn't make any, I mean, overpriced soda maybe, but, you know, they'd bring water bottles. You couldn't make any money on them except at the door. But when you would have 2,000 kids come in on a Friday night, and I mean, it was a big venue, and sort of mosh pit-ish. And then you'd play Paradise City. I'd have to warn the bouncers. They'd have security on, man. Fights would be breaking out. It'd be pandemonium. And it'd be the funnest song of the night, you know, just because I had the vantage point. I'd get to watch it all. But then my fear would be they'd want me to testify in a court of law about what I'd seen. I had to go testify in an attempted murder trial happened at the bar. And this was, you know, to call it attempted murder. One guy threw a glass at another guy, but it ricocheted off the ground, hit the guy in an artery. The guy almost bled out in the bar. And I'm watching it, you know, and they're, you know, so I've got an accused murderer, and I'm the prosecution's key witness. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to queue up some videotape over here. I looked over. I see a guy whip a glass. Didn't look like murder to me, but, you know.
I don't know that he intended to. I mean, you couldn't make that shot again if you tried. I got an ashtray thrown at my head from, like, 20 feet away, and I'm like, go ahead. Give me your best shot. And even didn't even try to dodge. And it couldn't have. I would not have called it attempted murder. So, yeah, I get you.
You know what? If Dominic ever tried to shoot me and I was downrange, I'd feel pretty safe. 844-967-2789. Going to the phones, Catherine from Madison. Welcome, Catherine. How are you today?
I'm fine, Trudy. How are you?
Well, pretty good. Sorry about all the digressions. I'm a little brain-addled from all the late-night stress painting.
Maybe it's the fumes from the paint.
Oh, it but could at be. Any rate, it's calling, probably the fumes from the paint, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. It can't be anything else. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm calling because you mentioned one of the best movies ever, Barfly. I love that movie. It's so good.
See, Brian doesn't know what he's talking about.
I know. It was really great. And I was going to mention the scene where Mickey O'Rourke asked the bartender, you know, he sees Faye Dunaway at the end of the bar, and she's a good-looking woman at the end of the bar, and he says, oh, who's that, you know, because she's sitting by herself. And the bartender says, no, don't bother with her, you know, she's crazy. And so he immediately gets up and runs over and meets her, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah. So,
I know, yeah, like crazy, huh? And he runs over. And I was thinking that's kind of like America. You know, we saw this flashy thing, Trump, down at the end of the bar, and, you know, and everybody said, no, he's crazy, you know, he's been on TV, you know he's nuts, and a whole bunch of us just ran over and, you know, spent the night with her and took her and gave her the keys to the apartment.
But so Catherine, I mean,
dealing with the consequences.
We're all adults here. We're all consenting adults. But you would not have jumped into bed with a Donald Trump in the same way that he jumped into bed with porn stars. I mean, there would have been some condoms in there somewhere, I suspect.
I think so.
For your protection, if you know what I'm saying.
I know, very much.
So we all jumped into bed with this man, but, you know, I'd like to think at least we practice safe sex.
Yes. Well, a bunch of us did not, but the ones that did are just sticking with her. You know, they made the commitment, and she's got the keys to the apartment, and they're just stuck with her.
Interesting analogy, and I feel like I took you there, Catherine, and I feel like now I've got to apologize to you and the audience. Sorry about that.
I'm feeling a little dirty. Now I'm lying next to Donald Trump in a soiled bed.
I went to a nice Italian joint on the west side of Madison yesterday, and I saw a Faye Dunaway-esque character at the end of the bar drinking. And I mean, it was early afternoon, and I noticed the only people in this bar restaurant are women. They're all out drinking their vino mid-afternoon, having a good old time. I was like the only dude, me and some other old guy at the bar. Only guys. There were service staff that were male, but it was all women. It was like ladies' night at the bar, and it was packed. And anyways, and then there was one poor, lonely, Faye Dunn-esque woman at the bar, and she was drinking martinis. And I'm thinking, now that's hardcore. You know, skip the vino. Let's go to the hard stuff. But I was drinking water, man. I had to do a radio show with you. It's bad enough. I was tired from stress painting.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of things that could all certain people might be impaired by, other people might be enhanced by.
A couple of martinis at lunch has never made for a better radio show. The
first half of martini makes you brilliant. The rest of it, it's all downhill very quickly.
844-967-2789. This show's devolving quickly. Let's get it and raise it up, Dick. Dick from Madison. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, boy. So when did Scott Walker move from heading up the young Nazi youth corps to the president of the Anti-Defamation League? I mean, this guy is a clown.
Oh, you're talking about the gubernator, the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin. He joined like the Reagan worship Young Nazi Youth Corps, Young American Foundation, I believe is technically the name. And I mean, the guy's like adopted the persona of Ronald Reagan. You know, he goes out there and hangs out on the Reagan Ranch with Christy Noem and they think conservative thoughts, and then he plays media whore on Newsmax. It's quite the existence.
Here's what I really call about, though. Didn't Trump once say that if you plead the fifth, you are guilty? I'm sure it's out there that he said it in one of his ranting speeches.
Are you challenging Fancy Brand right now? Like, Brian, go search the archives. I'm sure it's out there.
And here's the deal, and here's why I bring it up.
You see, the mob takes the fifth.
The mob takes the fifth, Dick.
If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
Right. Okay, then why is the head of the Proud Boys going to plead the fifth? Just coming out right now, he is going to plead the fifth. And what's his? I can already tell you what his little chant is going to be within a couple weeks. Lock Mike up. Just watch. He's going to start going after Pence. Lock him up.
Lock him up.
But I
thought he was going to hang him, Dick. Well, let me, and I appreciate your call, but let me run down the stages of Trump's guilt. And Luke Zaleski, Zaleski, he's certified on Twitter. But these come from him. I'm just stealing his thoughtfulness. Number one, the number one stages of Trump's guilt. I didn't do it. Number two, I didn't do anything wrong. Number three, I didn't do anything illegal. Number four, the people accusing me are guilty. Number five, the law is illegal. Number six, you can't prove it. Number seven, what happened didn't happen. And number eight, I did it, and it's fine, and I'll do it again, libtard. Those are almost literally the stages of evolution on any topic. I mean, Trump makes a confession. Then he says, no, I didn't. I didn't do it. Don't believe your lying eyes. And then, no, it's fine. What I did, it's fine. Everyone does it.
Just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
I miss that guy.
People keep falling for it, and they're like, I want more of that.
I can't believe any of us, and I know I took Catherine's analogy way down a rabbit hole, but I can't believe any of us, fell into bed with Donald Trump because we thought the sex would be good. You know what I mean?
I never thought the sex was going to be good. I had hoped that he might have tried to do any of it at all. Like, I still even held out hope when the pandemic hit. I thought, this is going to be so serious. He might finally drop it and get serious because this is something really... Nope.
Oh, he was always going to turn that next corner and just be a little more presidential.
I just... At some point, I would hope that something would shake him and make him go, oh, yeah.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Well, according to Stormy Daniels' book, the sex was not good with Donald Trump, because I've actually read the book.
I should have anticipated you were going there, Mark, because Catherine did open up the door to this sort of salacious talk.
And to take a James Santel moment here, give people their homework, read Federalist 74, because that describes, pardons, presidential pardons.
I'd rather read Federalist 69.
But it's ridiculous. And Gableman should actually crack a book and actually look at the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. As far as for these subpoenas, you're supposed to describe what you're looking for, not just say, give me everything so I can go through it. No, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you never gone fishing, Mark? They're just doing a little fishing expedition.
But at least I know the rules for the fishing regulations.
Well, I know Trump's told a few fish stories. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. We'll have a good time. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. I also promised you coverage of the Bindman lawsuit against Rudy and Trump. We'll talk about that. So, fairly big show, big segment. Come back. Trust me, it'll be great.
We had a very nice dinner.
I'm not going to be ignored.
Pick the wrong week, Christmas and blue.